Welcome to another edition of View from the Bleachers Radio. We're glad to have you. This is episode 5, guys. We've already made it to episode 5. I don't know what the listeners are going to get to us for our 5-show anniversary, but they need to be putting some thought into it because 10 is just around the corner. As always, I'm joined by Josh Cornwall and Sean Powell. Guys, how you doing tonight?
Doing great, Joe. Nice to see you again.
Great, as always. It's a beautiful Monday.
Well, this is a record, I think, 2 shows in a row now where we've all had no commitments and we're all in studio ready to go, so that's awesome. Just a quick reminder to our listeners, you guys have been doing a tremendous job, but we need more help. Please subscribe to the show on iTunes. Even if you listen to the show on your phone or whatever it is, please subscribe to the show on iTunes. We really, really, really appreciate that. And then remember, take a second to log on to iTunes and rate the show. It takes literally 2 seconds. And then if you're kind enough, please review us. That's the only way that we're going to be able to get enough action on the podcast to be able to get above the graveyard of some of the old podcasts that aren't even updated. I know the long since abandoned Cubs cast is still up there, and we would very much like to be joining some of the newer Cubs podcasts like Bleacher Nation and Ivy Envy up there in the top 200 for professionals, professional podcasts. So we'd really need your help there. Go to iTunes, rate us, review us, and we would appreciate it. As always, you can follow the show on Twitter. I can be found at VFTB. It stands for View from the Bleachers. Josh is at JCStats. And Sean is at Powell_Sean, and that's Sean spelled with S-E-A-N. You can also email the show, viewfromthebleachers@gmail.com. And when you're using that, please put podcast in the subject line so I know that it came from the podcast, and that way we can make sure we get it addressed on the podcast as well. We will always love suggestions. We love feedback on the show. So even if you've just got something random to say, we'd love to hear it. And it can get shared with all of us, and we enjoy that as well. Guys, we want to jump into a contest that we've got going for this month. We teased it a little bit last month or last show, but I'm excited about it. And I know you guys are too after I shared with it to you before we did the show here. We've got 2 different prizes to give away this March, and we're going to be giving away probably a total of 8 different winners a prize. And the 2 prizes are, first of all, a DVD called 100 Years of Wrigley Field. Everybody's doing something to commemorate the 100-year anniversary of the field. But this is a DVD book or a DVD, and I think it might even come with a booklet too. Great prize. I was watching the trailer, and we'll have the trailer in the show notes as well so you can watch that. But that's a great prize. We've got 3 of those DVDs to give away. And then a book by George Will. I teased it last show, but A Nice Little Place on the North Side. It's a new book by George Will. We've got 5 copies of that to give away. So we'll have a total of 8 winners at the end of the year. We're going to announce those, I believe, probably on the podcast that we do opening day. If you guys are free, we'll do one opening day. But so be listening for how to – or in the next part of our show – be keeping an eye out for how to enter that contest, and we'll get you some more notes there. But just we'll make you wait till the end of the show on how to do that. In the meantime, guys, spring training has started. We've got games going, and I wanted to kind of dabble into what we've seen so far. I don't know if you guys caught the game today, but there was a pretty exciting moment by Javier Baez, and I wanted to kind of dive right into the roster. We talked about this a little bit maybe about 2 weeks ago, and we started to construct our roster. And so what I wanted to do is I want to just kind of begin every week as we lead into spring training to come up with the roster as it stands right now based on the data that we have, based on the performances we've seen. So I'm going to throw out some names, guys, and I want you to just give me some feedback. And what we'll do is we'll construct the roster each week and hopefully not have to make too many changes. We'll see how close we got it as of week 1. So, guys, I'm going to start with a couple names here in the starting pitching staff. The first one here is Jeff Samardzija. I would say that we're probably all in agreement that Jeff Samardzija makes the opening day roster. Would you agree?
Yes.
Yeah, if he's still on the team.
Yeah, I think we have to qualify that one and say he is going to be still on the team. And so I think right there would be a good place to start. Will Jeff Samardzija still be on the team?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to say yes as well. I think to trade him at this point in the season would be a mistake. I think, if anything, he's traded closer to July.
Correct.
Next name on the list is Travis Wood. I think it's also pretty safe to say that he will be on the opening day roster, and I would be willing to lock him in there as well, and I'm sure that you guys probably agree there.
No doubt.
2 for 2.
Edwin Jackson is a 3rd. I think we could probably lock him in there as well.
Yep.
And then I think we can pretty much safely lock in Jason Hamill. Would you agree?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. So that leaves us a fifth starter spot. And I think this one coming into the season was a little bit more up in the air than I think the Cubs would have wanted it to be. I think it would have been easier to just give the job to Jake Arrieta, but with Arrieta's shoulder issues, now the job is a little bit more up in the air. And so I'm going to go ahead and start with Jake Arrieta and say, you know, do you, if the season started right now, or obviously not right now, but as it stands right now, will Jake Arrieta be the fifth starter on this rotation come opening day?
I don't think so. I think Jake's going to start on the DL just because since we're looking at a non-competitive team and looking at value for the long term, he's going to start on the DL. They're going to ease him back into the role, so we're going to be looking for another fifth starter.
Yeah. Josh,
I think we talked about this 2 weeks ago briefly. We went through the – well, I wasn't here, but when we made our predictions for the 25-man roster. I think just because there's so much – concern about his shoulder and the discomfort. They know it's healing or pretty much healed, but there's zero reason to rush him back.
Right.
And even if it's just on the DL for a month, even if it's not for 2 weeks, until they're fully comfortable in a season that really is for nothing, it would be foolish.
Yeah, missing a few weeks of 15-degree starts in Chicago is not going to be the worst thing for him anyway.
No.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And so when I look up and down the roster that's been invited to spring camp, really the only name that I see that has a legitimate chance, I think, would be a Chris Rusin. What would you guys disagree with that, or is that who you feel is penciled in right now as the number five?
Oh. Is it possible to run the four-man rotation for a month?
I don't think so.
Sometimes the first couple of weeks you can do it, but I don't think we can do it long enough to.
No, I don't think so. I think
we're
going to
need a fifth starter. Yeah,
I think we've got to carry a fifth.
I mean, Russin is there. That would be the more upside play. The safer play would probably be Villanueva.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know,
that
you can plug
go.
And play him. You can plug and play him at any moment. You know.
But I see him more as a long guy for this pen. I mean, I know we enjoyed what we saw from him in the beginning of the year last year. As a starter, but I think his days as a starter were numbered. I really enjoyed watching him pitch, but I just don't see him as the fifth starter answer. Maybe I'm wrong. Josh, what would you say?
He hasn't really looked that good in the two games he's pitched this spring. I know it's spring training, but he gave up three runs against, was it the Royals, I think, a couple days ago? And he gave up a run or two in his other appearance, so I don't know, and that's a middle relief in spring training.
So we've got a vote on this one then. I say Chris Rusin. Sean, what's your vote?
You know, if you asked me this a week ago, I would have said McDonald because he's got the major league contract. He got the major league contract, and I'm thinking, well, if it's not Arrieta, McDonald's already on the major league contract, so they're going to give him the start. But, man, he got destroyed. Mm-hmm. He looked terrible. Well, it's spring training. It's the first week out. You can't put much stock into it. So I am going to tentatively vote McDonald at this point.
And Josh?
I guess Rusin's probably the best option out of the three right now.
It's Chris Rusin.
Yeah.
Moving on, we're going to skip the pen for right now because that's always just a hodgepodge of mess. We're going to move on to catcher. I think barring any injury, you've got to put Wellington Castillo as your starter. And I think we can kind of pencil that in and make that a lock. I think you've got to lock in Anthony Rizzo as well. And so then that moves over to the other corner spot, third base. If you guys had to vote right now, who's your starting third baseman?
I'm going to vote Olt.
I'm going to vote Olt too.
Yeah, I think – I know he hasn't played too much in the first four games, but there's just too much upside there. And barring unforeseen circumstances, I think they'll go with him.
Yeah, I think we all agree there. So we're going to pencil Mike Olt in there as the starting third baseman. Shortstop, Starlin Castro?
Definitely.
Yep.
Although, you guys saw, he left with an injury. I'm telling you.
Javier same thing
Baez,
last spring training,
at least 15
though.
Starts by September 1st. I'm
telling
you.
But it won't be before June because of the Super 2 rule, and you're going to lose a year of control. So that's not going to happen.
Although, kind of curious, I saw there was a post about moving Barney over to shortstop for these next 7 to 10 days. And I thought that was a little bit curious considering the other guys are trying to get time there.
Yeah, and Barney, you know, Barney, one of his natural positions when he first came up was shortstop. And so, you know, he was shifted over to second base, I think primarily just to make room for Castro. So
definitely. I mean, Barney's a plus-plus second baseman, but I think most people think he still would be a plus shortstop.
Mm-hmm.
I think he would fill in no problem at all in short.
I just thought it was weird because there's other guys that you can give time at that spot while he's out for a week.
Right.
Actually, though, who else can play short? Who can play short,
though? Well, Baez.
Yeah, but Baez isn't going to break. He's not going to be in the team for Super 2 reasons. I mean, who else can do it?
Bonifacio, I think.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah.
Bonifacio could play that whole left side of the infield.
That's true. When we get to the second base question, I'll bring him up.
Ditka.
Ditka can play, you know, catcher and pitcher at the same time, right?
he's his own battery.
And then he can pitch and then run to home plate and catch his own pitch, right?
That's right. And have time, plenty of time to do it. So moving on to second base, we just mentioned Emilio Bonifacio. I don't know if you guys saw his first at-bat of spring training, but he hit a triple, and it was an easy stand-up triple. He probably could have realistically even had thoughts of an in-the-park home run. If you had to choose right now, who's starting on opening day at second base?
Barney's still starting.
I agree.
I agree that Barney's going to start second, but I think it seems like there's no doubt that Bonifacio is going to be on the roster because he's been getting a lot of playing time. He played center field today. He's played second. He's played all over the place. He's been batting leadoff every time he's been in the lineup. I think they really like him, and I do too, to be honest. And I see him just getting a lot of playing time, but I still agree that Barney's your second base starting guy.
Fair enough. Moving on to left field, what do you guys have there? The outfield is kind of a hot mess, I'll be honest with you. I don't get excited when I see our outfield. Who's your starting left fielder?
Ooh. Yeah, now that Bonifacio has been playing well, I think they could probably stick him in the outfield just because there's okay options out there, but it depends. If you could have Junior Lake in left field and Bonifacio in center field, and not play Ryan Sweeney, would you rather do that?
I wouldn't.
I don't know. I think I'd be fine with Ryan Sweeney. I don't know.
Sweeney's offense is better.
Yeah, I agree. I think I would rather have Sweeney in center field. But I think we're going to see a whole lot of platoons this year.
I think the only guy getting normal playing time is probably Shearholtz, and only because they want to trade him.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a hodgepodge. Although, something to consider is we haven't seen anything in terms of managerial tendencies in terms of the platoon from Renteria. We don't really know how he operates. Is he a guy that's just going to basically run the same lineup out there every week, or is he going to be a guy that's going to be tinkering game in and game out where we're going to see 1,000 different lineups? I don't think we really know what kind of manager he's going to be quite yet.
Well, I think that you know, Theo and Jed are both really into the maximum value you can get out of a platoon like the Oakland Athletics. So Renteria's first year, I don't think they would have hired him if he didn't kind of agree with that philosophy. So I think we're going to see platoon craziness in the outfield.
Yeah, but didn't we think the same thing about Dale Swaim?
Well, yeah, but I mean, he did the Shearholtz basically only played against righties, and I think that's going to continue.
Okay. Well, I think it would be safe to say that right now, if it were up to me, I think I would pencil Junior Lake in there at left field.
My vote's going to be for Sweeney in left because I think everybody wants to see Junior Lake play center because his bat's going to play way better there. So I'm going to say Ryan Sweeney is your left fielder.
And Josh?
I mean, if you're choosing between those two, I'd say I'd rather have Lake in center and Sweeney in left if that's your most optimal lineup,
right?
With Shearholtz and Wright.
Okay. But I think maybe what we need to get down to then is regardless of who's in left, who's in center, would we all safely then say Lake and Sweeney manning either one of those positions, basically?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's basically what we're trying to get at. I tend to put Lake in left. You guys tend to put him in center. So, but I think the concept there is we're still filling those two spots with those two guys.
Right.
Okay. Right field, we named Nate Shearholtz as the starting right fielder there, and I think he's probably the only lockdown everyday player in the outfield. And so then that leaves us with the bench. And I think the bench is going to be an interesting one. So I'm going to start with a couple of names. First of all, I think you've got to put, unless something crazy happens, George Kataris on the bench as the backup catcher. Do we agree?
For sure. Yeah.
No one else to play it.
Right.
And his dog, who's the unofficial mascot of the team now.
Now, I typically construct my roster with five bench spots I take that back. I construct my roster with six bench spots and an 11-man pitching staff, but nowadays the tendency tends to be five-man bench. So we're going to go five-man bench because that's probably what we're going to see. So the next thing we need to fill is a couple of outfield bench spots, and I think we've safely said that we're probably going to see Justin Ruggiano as one of those spots. Would you guys agree?
Yeah, and actually, you know, I don't think Schiraldi is going to be every day. I think he's going to start against righties, and he's going to platoon with Reggiano and Wright.
Okay. So then who gets the last outfield spot?
It's a good question.
See, I tend to lean into...
Does Brett Jackson want to come up?
I don't know.
Of course,
no,
he wants to come up.
I think he likes AAA.
Yeah.
I tend to lean towards Josh Vitters simply because it allows you to carry an extra infielder, because Vitters can play the outfield, but he can also spell Anthony Rizzo at first base.
That makes sense, but if you're trying to get maximum value, does him having like the bench at bats that he would get, does that develop him or, you know, make him valuable to other teams? It seems like he might be more valuable being in AAA, getting everyday at-bats, and trying to establish himself there. I don't know. It's a tough call.
Well, my thinking there is, though, how much more development are we going to need to see from Vitters? I mean, at this point, I think it's just kind of – I think his value has dropped so much that it's more of can we get anything out of this guy? He was a first-round pick. Can we get anything out of us to make us – you know, to make the draft pick not look silly, you know, and I think that's where you're going to stand. The only other outfield options really that you're going to see on this team, like you mentioned, Brett Jackson, I don't think he's going to make the team out of spring training. You know, obviously Jorge Soler is on the 40-man roster. He's not going to make it. Neither is Matt Scherzer. So then at that point, you start to look at non-roster invitees, and really, is there anything really that strikes your fancy in the outfield as non-roster invitees? I mean, you got Almora, Chris Coughlin, Aaron Cunningham, Ryan Kalish, Mitch Meyer, my guy, Darnell McDonald, and Casper Wells. I don't know. I think it's Vitters or Brett Jackson, and I like Vitters better.
I like both of them better than Ruggiano, to be honest. But I don't think that. I think it's more because of preference than actual play.
Well, but Ruggiano's out of options, so he's got to make this team.
I think Ruggiano's going to be there. I mean, they traded for him. He hit 18 homers at the big league level last year. I mean, yeah. You can't sneeze at that. I mean, that's something.
He's also 32.
I mean, I think we have to agree that this outfield is not going to be good. And
well,
so
yeah, no doubt.
And
we're
so you have to
from the worst here. That's
right. You have to kind of go into that mindset. And so my vote, I'm going to go ahead and vote Vitters. What, Josh, what do you say?
I think Vitters will make it over Jackson.
Okay. And Sean?
I am there's no right answer here. I'm going to say Darnell McDonald because they need a veteran and they like him as maybe a coach guy in the future, and I think they want to just get Jackson and Vitters every day at bats, see if they can build value somewhere, because that's really, honestly, the only play they've got left.
Okay.
That's my...
Well, I'm gonna note that, because that's two non-roster invitees so far that you've mentioned is making this team, so we're going to have to deal with that and reconcile that.
Nice. I've heard those pay back pretty well.
So moving on to the infield part of the bench, we've got to elect two middle infielders pretty much, I think, or at least one middle infielder and a corner infielder. So let's start with Bonifacio. You guys think that Emilio Bonifacio makes this team. Am I to gather that?
Yes.
I am starting to come around. I think he probably will, unless he completely wets the bed. And I think the triple to start the season definitely helps. But I don't like putting non-roster guys on this team because it means somebody's got to go. And looking at the roster that we have, I don't see a whole lot of just easy names where they would clear waivers. So... But I'll go with them. If you guys say so, I'll go with them. So that leaves one other bench guy, and who would that be? I'm torn on this one. I have no idea. I tend to lean towards the third base position and taking Villanueva, or excuse me, not Villanueva, Luis Valbuena. But then at that point, you also leave Donnie Murphy off the team too, and I was going to carry Donnie Murphy as my infielder.
You have to choose between Donnie Murphy and Josh Vitters. You choose, Joe. You choose.
Oh, I would choose Donnie Murphy just for the simple fact that, like Sean said, we would get every day at bats for Josh Vitters. But I really thought Valbuena and Donnie Murphy would both make this team, and Bonifacio would not.
It's only been four games, spring training. Yeah, I mean, never know what could happen.
Well, I would think I'm going to venture a guess that you guys would probably put Valbuena over Murphy. Is that right?
Yeah. If you have to choose between the two, yeah.
Okay. That. So we should probably put Valbuena on there with Donnie Murphy heading back to AAA.
And that kind of hinges on Olt winning that third base job. That's the really big factor, I think. That's the biggest thing.
It changes the entire landscape of the roster.
Right. I think if Olt doesn't make the team, then at that point, I think we probably all agree that it's Valbuena and Murphy.
Yeah.
Okay. So moving on to the bullpen, I'll be honest, this is a hot mess as well. It's a whole bunch of guys that could make the team, a whole bunch of guys that may not make the team, but I think the first one we've got to start with, the automatic that's returning from last year's team, is James Russell. I don't think there's any reason why he would not make the roster. Do we agree?
Yep.
Yeah.
Also, another name, it would be Jose Veras. I think that he was brought in for a reason. He's going to make the team, and he can safely go ahead and work on things in the spring training and not have to worry that he'll not be selected.
Yep. So,
and then other than that, I think Pedro Strop is probably a pretty good lock to make the roster as well out of spring training. Do we agree?
Yes. He'll be a setup guy.
Okay. What about Blake Parker? What do you guys think of Blake Parker?
That's a great question.
Consistent enough?
Mm-hmm.
With a question mark?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, go ahead.
Josh. Go ahead.
I mean, you just look at the guys on the 40-man roster, and there's not a lot of guys who are more consistent than he would be as a middle reliever. I mean, that's the best way to put it.
Well, keep his name in mind. I want to come back to him in a second. I think we've got to also put Carlos Villanueva on this roster as well.
I think he's certainly going to be on, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you guys think about Vizcaíno? Will he make this roster?
Not out of camp. I don't think he will do it out of camp. I think they're going to be abundantly cautious with him.
Interesting. Josh, do you agree or no?
I mean, it depends on what he does. I know he's pitching this week, a Wednesday, I believe, his first live game in a while. Or has he actually pitched a live game?
I don't know if he has pitched a live game. I haven't seen the numbers today, but I don't think he had as of today.
I want to say, I just saw somewhere. I'm pretty sure he's pitching a live game sometime this week. So I could be totally way off on this. I'm sorry.
So we're not willing to lock him in quite yet.
I think they're just going to – I mean, why put him up now? Like, make sure he's healthy. Make sure he's consistent and back into the game. After being out for so long, get in competitive ball, make sure the arm's healthy. And I think there's no reason not to be patient at all. There's zero reasons not to be patient.
Well, I'll give you a reason why not to be patient. Wesley Wright, he sucked. So that would be a reason not to be patient.
He sure did, but he throws from the left side, and so that makes, you know, that's a difference.
Yeah, but we've got James Russell. How many lefties do you really need?
Theo on the air said, we will have at least two left-handers in the bullpen this year.
Okay, so you got to put Wesley Wright then.
Yeah.
If Chris Russon doesn't make the starting lineup, he'll be in the pen.
Agreed.
He's a lefty.
I disagree with you guys.
Well,
sorry.
No, you know, actually, I
think he'll,
too.
They want to keep him as a starter, yeah.
I agree. I think he would go down to AAA and probably start. But, you know, I don't know. You never know. But I think that it's safe to say that I like Vizcaíno, but if you're not all in, you guys, on putting him in there yet, we can hold off. But then at this point now, we're looking at this roster and saying, okay, we've got to fill the last three spots. Who are we filling them with?
Well, we talked about Blake Parker, and I think if the Cubs were a team looking to contend this year for a division title, Blake Parker's definitely your guy. Like, he's solid. He proved himself last year. He's a guy you feel comfortable throwing out there. but he's not much of an upside play.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like this team is all about the upside play these days. So even though Blake has certainly earned the right to be on this team, and you know, your casual fan would say, of course, Blake Parker's on this team, he's probably shown us his ceiling, you know. So, you know, even though I root for the guy and I like him a lot, I don't know if he's your upside play. You might want to give one of the more youngster guys like a shot at it and see what you can do from there. But I'm not sure. What do you think, Josh?
I'm kind of at a loss of words because it kind of depends on what you're looking for. I mean, if we want to go for the old guys because we want to keep the options on the young guys, then don't put the young guys up. But there's guys like Dallas Buehler and guys like Blake Parker and Neil Ramirez. And I mean, what do you want to do with them? They're not going to be great.
Right.
They'll
Justin
be okay
Graham
in AAA.
Looked nice the other day, too. I mean, there's another guy.
I mean, and they're all like 25, between 23 and 26 years old. They're all in the same age range. It just depends. Do you want to keep them for the next few seasons and keep them healthy? I mean, I think you're kind of splitting hairs at that point. It just depends what the Cubs brass really wants to do.
Yeah.
Right. I tend to go with, you know, some of these guys like Parker and Grimm. I don't see those as high upside guys, and so I don't think the Cubs are too concerned about, well, if we got to burn an option year with them if they don't work out. I think they're fillers, and I don't really stress over those guys.
You just need somebody to pitch,
right? I mean. And I think Parker did enough last year to deserve the spot. I don't think he did anything to not warrant putting him in there. I think he would be a guy that I would place in my remaining bullpen spots. I think Wesley Wright probably wins a job simply because he's out of options. And so if they truly do want at least two lefties in that pen, I think he's the other option there. And then I tend to go Vizcaíno, but you know, those would be my last three. But I mean, where do we want to, you know, Parker, Vizcaíno, and Wright, I think would be my last three.
A big question about Vizcaíno too is, have they completely given up on him being a starter in the future? And
I think so too.
I have, but I don't know if they have totally yet. I mean, they may want to see if he has what it takes to try it. I mean, I wouldn't do it, but I'm not Theo, right? So that's a big factor. But I still think they're going to play it safe with him. I think he's going to be a midseason call up. You may see Baez and Vizcaíno at the same time in June or July.
Mm-hmm.
Which would be pretty exciting. And he's like he's the pitcher I'm looking for most. I don't know, but you've got so many names, it's almost like a toss up. We haven't even mentioned Hector Rondon, who looked really great the last year. Brooks Raley, who could be like a long guy. Chaeyoung Lim is out there. Alberto Cabrera is another guy that's got some good stuff. I mean, it's almost
Jonathan Sanchez.
A fool's errand. Yeah, it's almost a fool's errand to try to think about who it's going to be. I mean, a lot of it's going to be injury, health, who looks good in the spring. You know, I don't know.
Well, we got to pick somebody. I think, can we agree that Blake Parker tentatively is in?
Yeah.
What about Wesley Wright?
I think he is left-handed.
Okay. And so that third spot, we got to tentatively put somebody in here. What do we want to go with there?
I'm going to defer to you guys.
I'm going Vizcaíno.
Okay, I won't go Vizcaíno, and I'll say Justin Grimm, just to say it.
And Josh?
He was the other guy I was looking at. I think Grimm would be the smarter decision out of camp.
Then we'll go Justin.
He did praise Grimm the other day on the broadcast. So.
So we've got, basically, the way I see it, six spots that we haven't quite locked in yet. Blake Parker, Wesley Wright, Justin Grimm, Josh Vitters, Emilio Bonifacio, and Luis Valbuena. Everybody else we feel is locked in. Is that right?
Yeah, it sounds good.
Okay, so we'll revisit that next week and see where our roster looks. And I think next week we'll begin to probably see some cuts off the Major League camp, and we can address those as well. So hopefully you guys enjoyed that, and feel free to let us know what you guys think about those guys that were on the fence with. We always welcome the feedback, and feel free to share your roster with us as well. That brings us to the mailbag, and mailbag's a little empty this week. We need you guys to fill it up. Remember, email the show, viewfromthebleachers@gmail.com, or tweet the questions, and that's both of these questions where they came from. First one comes from Josh, and Josh, this is a great question, but we're going to edit it a little bit and make it a little bit better. This is actually a relative of Sean's, so we know that we can we can do that and not have to worry that we're going to lose a listener. But this question comes from Josh. His original question is, who is more likely to become an ex-Cub first, Darwin Barney or Starlin Castro? And Josh, we're going to edit this a little bit and actually change it around to ranking which of these Cubs are going to be an ex-Cub first, Darwin Barney, Starlin Castro, or Jeff Samardzija, ranking them 1 to 3, so basically first to last. Josh, why don't you start us off, rank those, Barney, Castro, Samardzija. What's the order in terms of when they exit this team?
I think Samardzija, he could either be the most likely to stay or the most likely to go. I think that they'll try to get a deal done to trade him first. I think he probably presents the most value on the open market right now, or even leading into June. I mean, Castro would be astronomical too, but nobody's going to pay what the Cubs are probably asking for him. So I would say Samardzija are probably the least likely to go first. Barney, and I don't know if it would be a trade or a cut, but probably him second, and then Castro third.
So Castro would be the least likely to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with Josh. I think it makes sense to say Shark first, because I think that's what other – he would be the player that other teams would be the most interested in, and we've already seen that there's been some interest out there, so he would be the first to go. And Barney second, just because – not from the interest in other teams necessarily, but because he would be the most expendable from the Cubs standpoint, because we have so many middle infielders coming up through the system. And I've actually heard that the Yankees were looking in on him, which is interesting and weird. But, you know, maybe a lineup like that can afford just a pure defensive substitute. Wouldn't it be interesting if Barney became the guy who subbed in defensively for Jeter at the end of games? That would be really interesting. And then it could happen, you know. And then, Castro, here's the problem with Castro. Even if we wanted to move him, if you were a GM on another team, you have no idea how to value Castro. Is he the two-time All-Star player we saw before, or is what last year showed us what he's going to be in the future? So you don't know if to jump on him in a sell low kind of opportunity or not. I mean, he's so up in the air right now with his future. It would be too impossible, I think, to put a deal together that would make sense for both sides. So I think we're going to have to just wait and see with Castro to see what happens.
Yeah, I'm going to actually go pretty much the same direction as you guys. I'm going to say Samardzija will be dealt before the July deadline. Darwin Barney will be non-tendered in the offseason, and Starlin Castro is here until the day he dies.
The day he dies?
Yes.
He would break the record for oldest player ever, hopefully.
He will.
That's right.
Yes,
hopefully,
he will. He'll be a Cub for life.
Jamie Moyer is angry at your...
So next question. Thank you, Josh, for that one. Next question comes from Ben on Twitter. This was a late entry here as we were starting the show, but why haven't I seen much of Mike Olt? Is this indicative of something? So basically, Ben is a little nervous about Mike Olt. I don't know what you guys feel on this, but I don't think – I mean, we've only seen like 3 games. I don't know how much you really want to see him.
Well, it just came out that he's dealing with a minor shoulder soreness. And that is the actual reason that he has not played third base yet. And I know we talked last week about why isn't Mike Holt at third? It's weird. He's playing first. He's in the outfield. But it's actually because he's got a little bit of right shoulder soreness, and they didn't want him to make those third base throws yet. But he just came out, I think, yesterday in an interview saying that he's going to start doing those third base throws and be in the lineup at third this week. So I think it's just a little shoulder thing, and I was just worried about him making that long throw, but I think he's going to be back in action at third this week.
Yeah, and that's not really that uncommon. If he bounced around a lot last year, didn't play a lot last year, and so if you start throwing a lot every day, I mean that.
And he described it as dead arm, which sounds bad, but actually it happens to a lot of players, and he said it's happened to him before. And it's something that he's dealt with before, and it's not a big deal, so he should be back soon.
Right, yep. So there you go, Ben. That's your answer to the Mike Olt mystery. And guys, thank you so much for the questions, for the mailbag. We really appreciate it. As always, you can tweet to us anytime, and we would be glad to answer those questions. Moving on to a new feature. I don't know if we even mentioned this on the last show, but this is going to be a regular feature hopefully the entire year, and it's called the JC Stat of the Week, and it's brought to you at JC Stats. That's Josh's Twitter handle. And basically what we're going to do with this is every week Josh is going to try to give us an overall view of how we are going to basically talk about stats. We're going to be basically breaking down various stats throughout the week, talking a little bit about how you need to be using them, how to be able to learn about them, and basically offering you a little primer. So, Josh, with that, I want you to take it away, and this is your baby, so do with it what you will.
Uh-oh, my baby. All right, so I wasn't really sure how to kick this thing off. I mean, it wasn't a last-minute thing, but arranged it this weekend to make sure that we were doing some stat stuff to kind of introduce it slowly but surely. There's some of you guys that are stat heads on the blog and some of you that hate stats, and that's perfectly fine in your opinion. But as a sports information director for college, pretty much all I do on a daily basis is stats, so I'm going to talk to you about stats. Today, I decided to go with the lovely and always easy stat, WAR, which is wins above replacement. Now, that was very tongue-in-cheek. It is not the easiest stat, but I'm going to try to make it a little bit easier for you. All right, so now we have to talk about how do we calculate WAR, because that seems like the most arbitrary and annoying and also difficult thing possible. Basically, we're taking a bunch of different actual stats, and if you use FanGraphs, it's WR – I mean, I'm not going to go into this. It's basically taking offensive stats, base running stats, and defensive stats and sticking them into one giant formula and then spitting them out. Does that make sense?
Yeah, most definitely.
Now we're like, well, how do you get that? If you want, go into FanGraphs and go into their glossary and look up WAR.
Yep, and I'll put a link to it in the podcast notes.
I mean, this could be like a 45-minute conversation just breaking down what the four things actually go into WAR from one standpoint. I mean, there's four formulas from offensive. There's three from pitchers. There's a couple for defensive, and it gets really complicated. But all you need to know is that it takes all three facets of the game and plugs them into one formula and determines how valuable is a player to a specific team. Well, some might ask, well, one player could be valuable to one team but not another team. Well, basically what it does is it spreads out the average over the entire league. It ranks all 944 players the exact same way. It doesn't take into account weather. It doesn't take into account altitude. It doesn't take into account the configurations of the ballpark or how hard it is to play in center field in one place or another or any of that. It puts them all into the same thing so everybody is on the same playing field. So we got that. Okay. Now, let's go into a little bit of context. Context, not contacts. Now, the league average varies based on position. And that's, again, we can go into another whole conversation about that. But the biggest thing to remember is people always complain of what does one WAR mean? Like, in comparison to a guy that's two WAR or in comparison to a guy that's negative two WAR. It basically breaks down like this, and if you look on Baseball Reference or FanGraphs, they'll give you basically the same definition but different wording, different verbiage. I'm using FanGraphs just because I think they're a little bit hipper, and Baseball Reference doesn't always update their stuff. Okay, so it breaks down like this. If you're between 0 and 1, you're kind of below average. If you're even less than 0, you're very below average, and you probably shouldn't be playing above AAA. So we'll just put that out there. If you're between 1 and 2, it means you're a role player. You're likely coming off the bench. You're probably starting between 50 to 70 games a year. That's what you should probably fall in if you're in there. That means you're okay on defense, you're okay in hitting, and you're okay in base running. So can't even think of a guy off the top of my head, but I'll look at the Cubs roster in a second from last year. A solid starter is between 2 and 3 WAR. A very good player is between 3 and 4 WAR. Now, anybody above 4 should be within the vicinity of all-star recognition. Now, only 6 to 7% every year actually gets above a WAR of 4. And in fact, the Cubs only had one guy last year that was in that vicinity. Can you guess who it is?
Wellington Castillo.
Did you look it up?
I did.
Oh, you cheater.
Well, I was trying to help you with your 1-2 war player, and so it just happened to be right in my face.
Okay, so Castillo is the only one. Obviously, he didn't make the All-Star game, but over the course of an entire season, if he had done everything the entire season, he would have been an All-Star caliber player in terms of the grand scheme of Major League Baseball. So he was actually one of the better catchers in the league last year from an overall standpoint. I think the next best player was actually Rizzo, who we felt didn't have a great season, but and taking into account his defense was actually really good, even though his offense struggled a little bit. 26% of players actually are above anything other than what's considered a role player, which is a little bit surprising if you think about it. So 7% get to all-star status, but another 26% don't ever get above role player. So we're talking about two-thirds of the league is never above role player status when taking into account all three facets of the game. That's fascinating.
I was going to ask you this, Josh. You had mentioned that you use either WAR with FanGraphs or Baseball Reference. I've heard in the past that there's a difference in terms of how they calculate and what they calculate into that metric. Do you know much about what the main difference is between the two values?
They each have their own set of minor stats, so I can't even remember.
Well, for example, if we look at Castillo's WAR last year was 4.4.
Are you looking at Baseball Reference?
Yeah, Baseball Reference. Whereas on FanGraphs, his WAR was 3.2.
FanGraphs is, well, theirs is called F-WAR, and Baseball Reference is R-WAR. And
okay.
The way they describe it is that they're both within the same framework, and the replacement level is the same, but they use different ways of calculating each set of values. So each offensive values are a little bit different, each defensive values are a little bit different, and each pitching is a little bit different based on the eye of the beholder. So it's not a perfect stat by any means. I mean, another conversation. That's a lot of people argue WAR is a terrible stat because it's based on the eye of the beholder rather than if a batting average. If you go 4 for 5, you're batting 800. There's
right.
There's nothing you could say to change that. That's what it was. But why I like WAR is because it takes everything into account. It's not just looking at average and saying, well, this guy's pretty good at bat, but he couldn't steal a base to save his life, and he's the worst defender on his team. Well, then how valuable is he really to his team? And that's when you see guys that are just good in one thing, they really don't contribute to anything more win-wise. If you took them away and replaced them with an average player, so a 1-2, your wins are going to be the same.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the whole system is about. It's saying, okay, the average player is between 1 and 2. So if you're better than a 2, that means you're going to be getting better production, and you have a higher percentage of wins on an averaging out the course of the entire season with that guy. If he's less than a 1 or a 2, then you're losing something there.
Right, right. I think the interesting thing that you mentioned was the fact that you wouldn't think – I wouldn't think off the top of my head that the Cubs' top player in terms of WAR would be Wellington Castillo. That wouldn't have come to my mind had I not been looking at it.
I know. I was actually a little bit surprised because I hadn't paid much attention at the end of last year because I was moving halfway across the country again. And Castillo had a really good last few weeks of the season, and it kind of bumped him up. If you kind of go into his splits, mm-hmm. his WAR goes up as the season goes on. I don't know. This is kind of his jargon at this point, but for example, FanGraphs uses these four stats for offensive players. They use weighted runs above average, which is basically the number of offensive runs contributing to the team compared to an average player. So they're using a comparison tool already to use
right.
toward a comparison tool. So like I said, it's really complicated, but it's you're comparing your players against what the average is across the league and whether it's better or worse for your team.
Exactly. And we'll have a link in the podcast show notes to the FanGraphs glossary there so that you can see a little bit about WAR. There's a ton of links to click in there that'll give you a lot of background in terms of the stat and how it's calculated and how it's used. I would encourage you to go to the show notes for this podcast and take a look at that and just dig around there. If you're interested in stats at all, it's very, very, very worth your time to just kind of get a real nice primer on what WAR is and how we're looking at it. Because as we refer to these stats throughout the year, we want to be able to have you guys have at least some background in terms of what we're talking about. So, Josh, thanks so much. And we'll bring that series back again next week with a new stat. And hopefully it'll be an enjoyable one like this one was as well. Guys, that brings us to our last part of the show. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been playing a game called Like It or Strike It. I decided to mix it up a little bit and come up with a new game. And I think we'll probably just cycle through a lot of different games over the course of the year. And this one is called What the Blank. And this is basically going to be a series of five questions where you have to fill in the blank. And what we're looking for here is a one- or two-word answer here. And feel free to elaborate on it, or just go with a one- or two-word answer that best describes the blank that I've left in the sentence. So you guys ready?
Yep.
Question one, the fact that Chris Bryant and Javier Baez have both homered early this spring is blank. Josh, go ahead. Start us off.
Sorry, repeat that.
Sure, the fact that Chris Bryant and Javier Baez have both homered early this spring is blank.
Exciting.
Josh?
Exciting. Is that good?
Sorry, I thought that was Sean. Sean, what do you got?
I will say exhilarating, except, I saw the Baez homer live today, and my favorite part was as the camera panned to catch the landing of the ball, the 400-foot sign went out of the picture, and that was cool. That was a shot to the opposite field.
Yeah.
They both had shots.
Ooh. Yeah, but if you haven't seen Baez's from today, it was kind of a off-center, opposite field shot, and it was a monster shot. Question number two, Starlin Castro's hot start, as much as you can call it that, and since we're so early, is blank.
I'll say encouraging.
Josh?
Meaningless.
Ooh, interesting. Okay, I tend to lean towards Josh's aspect there. I think it's kind of meaningless too, but it is what it is. I think if we start to see it more and more, then it'll start to be more encouraging. Question number three: Jake Arrieta's claim that he will be ready for opening day is blank.
Preposterous.
Josh, what do you got?
It's Sean, but I'll
Sean.
Say it's all right. You got to learn our voices. Man.
I do.
I will say.
You know what's funny too, and the listeners need to be aware of this, is when somebody is speaking, there's a little icon in terms of who is speaking on Skype, and I still can't get it right.
Yeah, right. But I'll say believable, but it doesn't mean he's going to start anyway, because even if he's ready, they won't let him. They're going to be cautious.
Okay.
So believable.
Question number four, Rick Renteria's very low-key personality is blank. Sean?
I think I missed the first part of that. Sorry.
Yep. Rick Renteria's very low-key personality is blank.
I'll say that's hard. That's a good question, man. I'll say it's irrelevant. I'll steal a term because I think it depends on how he is with his players and the way he is with the media. We're not sure that's the way he is behind closed doors with his own team.
Josh?
Mysterious. The only reason I say that is because, like Sean said, I mean, we don't really know a whole lot about him other than facts about his career.
I mean, right.
It's kind of mysterious.
Okay. Last question, and this one is completely unbaseball related, but I sent you guys a video, and I'll have the video in the show notes as well. But Deadspin had a story today about a news anchor that got just basically obliterated by a snowplow while he was doing his report. And so my question to you would be the news anchor who got obliterated by the snowplow is blank.
I'll say Epic, and that was hilarious. I mean, I don't actually laugh out loud at most GIFs. I mean, they're, you know, you see a million a day, but that one was really, really funny, so I'll say Epic.
Josh?
He is baller. I will use vernacular.
Shot caller, right?
That's right. Yeah, I thought it was outstanding. I saw that and I had to share it with you guys. And like I said, I'll have it in the show notes so that everybody can see what we're talking about. If you haven't seen it, you need to see it because this guy just gets creamed by a passing snowplow. And that's really the only way you can explain it.
We assume he's not dead. That's why we can laugh now.
Yeah, I would assume so. Otherwise, they wouldn't have put that on there.
I'll feel terrible if that comes out later.
Well, that's going to do it for the first edition of What the Blank, and we're going to end the show now. We teased it at the beginning, talking a little bit about how you guys can win some prizes this month of March. Again, the prizes, one is a DVD, 100 Years of Wrigley Field, and the final one is a Nice Little Place on the North Side by George Will. It's a new book by George Will. We've got a total of 8 prizes to give out this month, and here's how you can do it. Go to the show notes each week. In the show notes, there will be a link that you can click. It'll say click to enter the prize or click to enter the contest, something very obvious. When you click to enter the contest, it will take you to automatically a preloaded tweet for you to tweet out. In that tweet is going to be something basically something around the lines of, I just listened to the View from the Bleachers podcast. You guys need to subscribe on iTunes, and then it'll have an at sign with at VFTB so we can track whether or not you've tweeted that. We will allow you guys one entry per day per Twitter account, so feel free to tweet every day to your followers, and so that way they can hear about it, and we would be glad to give you a prize if you do that, if you are our lucky winner. Every time that somebody does enter the contest by clicking that tweet, I will favorite your tweet, and at the end of the month, we will draw our winners randomly from those tweets. So, again, the more times you enter, the more chance you have to win. But, again, one entry per day only per user, and we will favorite those tweets as we get them. So, again, you just go to the show notes every show, click on the link that says enter the contest, and that will take you directly to tweet it out. Feel free to share us on Facebook as well. It won't get you an entry into the contest, but we would appreciate it, and we'd be eternally grateful. That's going to do it for this edition of View from the Bleachers Radio, and we will do it again next week. Remember to tweet the show with suggestions, comments, questions for the podcast. And, you know, again, you can find us at VFTB, at JCStats, at Powell_Sean. Again, for Sean, for Josh, I'm Joe, and it's been a great show. We enjoy seeing you guys next week.